Welcome to this special Christmas edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. For over 86 years, this radio program has been endeavoring to pierce the darkness with the light of the love of Jesus. I hope you enjoy the Christmas programs that we have scheduled for you during the month of December. Again, thanks so much for joining us for this special Christmas edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. It's a beautiful Christmas carol sung by Greater Vision. It's off their newest Christmas album. They recorded the album in London, England with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. And throughout the month of December, at least through Christmas weekend, I'm going to be featuring that album. I hope you enjoy it. I'm not working very much in the month of December with the exception of the very first weekend. On Saturday night of this first weekend of December, I am in Bowling Green, Kentucky, speaking at a minister's gathering. And then on Sunday of this weekend, I'll be speaking at Flintwood Wesleyan Church, both Sunday morning services. So I invite our friends who listen to us on WYGS, if you're looking for a place to worship on the very first Sunday of the month of December, come and join us at 9 o'clock or at 11 o'clock at Flintwood Wesleyan Church in Columbus, Indiana. Do cover your prayers as we will take these days off during the majority of the month of December and pray that God would just continue to supply the need. When we don't work, we don't create revenue for the ministry, so we need for you to pray about that. I hope you will think about making the Lights of Spiritual Guidance a part of your Christmas giving. You can write to us, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 4-7-2-0-1, or go to our website, lomanministries.org. You can give through the Venmo or the PayPal tabs there. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love in our lives. Thank you for what you mean to us. Thank you for this wonderful time of the year when we can celebrate the greatest gift of all, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray your blessing upon our listening audience. I'm thinking of those folks who are mourning the loss of a loved one. I'm thinking of that family out in Illinois. A faithful supporter of this radio program has come home to be with you, and I pray for them today. I pray that you would continue to bless the churches and all of those who support the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Bless them, I pray. Those who are sick and shut in, I pray that they would sense your closeness right now, Heavenly Father, through your precious Holy Spirit. I ask it all in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Can you imagine what it would be like to be a teenager and have a message from God telling you that you're pregnant and will bear the Son of God? Mary's own thoughts must have been confused, but she also had to think of what Joseph was going to do. As was in the custom in that day, if an engaged man found that his fiancée was already pregnant and he knew he wasn't the father, he had three options by law. The first was to give her immediately a writ of divorcement. The second option was to allow the Sanhedrin to have her stoned to death. Or the third option, the man could marry her and take responsibility for the child. Though the scripture doesn't tell us the reaction of Mary's parents, I can imagine they would feel that Mary had brought dishonor to them. Today we may be so concerned about the reaction of others that we fail to see or hear God's nudges and messages. Let us, like Mary, hear, believe, and then have the courage to act upon the message.
What child is this who on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard. The silent word is pleading. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him, the King of kings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise the song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the son.
You have your Bibles this evening, I invite your attention to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4 is where we'll begin, but I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open because we're going to look at Acts chapters 3, 4, and 5. But just to lay a foundation for the message tonight, I want to read a portion of a prayer that was prayed by the members of the first century church. And we begin the reading with Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And they're referencing the religious leaders of their day when they pray this prayer. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I want you to notice, these are members of the first century church who no doubt were there on the day of Pentecost. And now the prayer again is that they might be filled with the Spirit of God. And it says they were all filled again with the Holy Spirit, and spoke the word of God boldly. Regardless of the size or the name of a congregation, if we are born-again believers in Jesus Christ, all of us are a part, an integral part of the church of Jesus Christ that was given birth on the day of Pentecost. Doesn't matter about the name on the sign out in front of the church. We're all a part of that greater body of believers. Now, here's the question and proposition for your consideration tonight. What enabled that small group of sometimes fearful, sometimes scattered people to be so mightily used of God in the early days of the first century church? How was that first century church able to successfully withstand those who so fervently opposed them, and they went on to establish the church of which you and I are a part this evening? A close study of Acts chapters 3, 4, and 5 reveals the answer in one simple word found in this prayer that they prayed. Boldness. Boldness. I don't know what comes to mind when you think of church. I know for some, church attendance is something that happens in their life when nothing else is going on in their life. And they come to church, and when they do, for some of them, I'm sure it's the longest hour of the week. And then there are others who come to church because they've always gone to church. Or maybe they come out of guilt. And they feel guilty if they don't go to church. But then there is another group of people, much like many of us. We go to church because we want to. Church has shaped our lives. It's made us who we are in the body of Jesus Christ. I grew up in the church. I mean, every time the church doors were open, I was there. I was there Sunday morning, Sunday school, morning worship, Sunday evening youth service at 6 o'clock, Sunday evening service at 7:30. I was there Wednesday night prayer meeting. I was there revival meetings every night. You didn't miss. You know where we went on vacation? Camp meeting. I knew church all of my life. That was just the way it was in my life. I remember on one occasion, my dad pastored a church outside of Burlington, North Carolina for 19 years.
And I grew up in that church. My first memories of church are at that location. And I can remember this particular Sunday morning. Oh, I might have been maybe 5 or 6 years old. And normally I had to sit with my mother, who would sit up on this side of the sanctuary. But that particular Sunday morning, I'd gotten away from my mother's watchful eye. And so I was now sitting on the very back row with some other children approximately my same age. And for whatever reason, mother did not come and seek me out. She let me sit back there. And so I'm sitting back there. And you know how kids will be when they're not supervised. We were just cutting up and laughing and carrying on. And I remember the service started and the congregational music was sung. And then they had the choir number and dad prayed and then the special number. And then my dad began to preach. Now, because we were singing and there was a lot of song noise, nobody really noticed what was going on the back row. But when Dad began to preach, all you could hear was Dad's sermon and also the noise that was coming from that back row from those children, one of which I was, making noise, picking at one another, and just creating some kind of a disturbance back on the back row. My dad was a rapid fire, high energy kind of a preacher, and he was right in the thick of his sermon, and right in the middle of making a statement, he abruptly stopped and said, "Lane, come up here and sit with your mother," and went right on with the sermon. Didn't miss a word. I heard about that after the service was over. I remember those times of going to church as a child when God would come. The Spirit would settle. Conviction. And as a kid, I'd watch and I'd see people become broken before the Lord. I'd see people move spontaneously to the place of prayer and begin to call upon the name of Jesus. They didn't care what people thought about it. They didn't care what others might say. They had business to do with God. And it impacted my life. It shaped who I am today. It had something to do with my spiritual DNA that is ongoing, even in this moment in time. And I'm thankful for what shaped my spiritual life in the church as I grew up in the church. But I would speculate this morning that what comes to mind when I think of church is probably a far cry from what was going on in the lives of the members of this first century church that are characterized here in the book of Acts. But fortunately for us, we have a firsthand record of the early days of the first century church. It is told by Dr. Luke. It's a play-by-play description of how Jesus was born, lived, ministered, taught, arrested, crucified, died, arose from the grave, appeared to his followers, promised them the Holy Spirit, and then ascended back to the Father. We have every bit of that written black ink on white paper. It's there for us. And remember that the church was given birth on the day of Pentecost, as we noted the other night in the message. And this church that was given birth on the day of Pentecost was not a denomination. They did not have buildings. The church of that day was centered around one primary idea. It was the core of the Pentecost message that Peter presented on that fateful day. He said it something like this: Jesus, the Son of God, who lived, taught, preached, and healed for over 3 years, 50 days ago, he was arrested, he was crucified, he was buried, and 3 days later, he came forth out of the grave. And that message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost literally turned the city of Jerusalem upside down. The population of Jerusalem at that time was approximately 44,000 people. Over 10% of the inhabitants of Jerusalem embraced the gospel. 10%. The followers of Jesus at that time were not called Christians. They were called followers of the way, or followers of the name. As a matter of fact, at least 11 times as you read Acts chapters 3, 4, and 5, you'll find the phrase, the name. The name. And things begin to happen in that first century church after the day of Pentecost. Let's follow the narrative as Luke presents it to us. Are you ready? Peter and John go to the temple to pray. How many times they had been there, we do not know. But no doubt, they would do the right thing from time to time, even before Pentecost. They would go up to the temple to pray. But now something has happened to change the way they approach the temple, how they approach people. And as they walk up to Solomon's colonnade through the gate beautiful, they come to a man who has been there most all of his life. And he is sitting there and he is begging alms from the passerby people. And I can see him in my imagination as Peter and John approach him. He sees them coming and he reaches out maybe an alms pan or maybe a bare hand. And he says, alms, alms, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. Perhaps before Peter and John just passed him by. But this time, they stop, and Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And Peter reached down and took hold of that man's hand and assisted him to his feet, and life came into his lame limbs. And that man began to rejoice because he was able to walk for the very first time in his life. A great crowd began to gather around Peter and John. And it was a remarkable time in the life of those two men and the life of that lame man. And as a result of that, people began to believe in the name of Jesus Christ. The scriptures will tell us what happened. Let's find out. The religious leaders have Peter and John arrested. Let's read it. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. We'll not read it all. It's just in the interest of time. But we'll read just parts of it and you can follow along. The priest and captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail. Look at verse 4. But many who heard the message believed, and so the number of the men who believed grew to be about 5,000. You could probably double that figure, because whenever men believed, their family members came right along behind them. I think we can safely say that there were probably now 10,000 or more people who had embraced the gospel as a result of the Pentecost message. And this Reader's Digest version of the Pentecost message there in the temple that day. Verse 7. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. Notice the question. By what power or what name did you do this? Here's the key response. Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you, before you, completely healed. Look at who is saying this. Have you put two and two together? Look who's saying this in front of people of whom he was once afraid. Outside the court of Caiaphas, when they pressed him on his association with Jesus, what did Peter do? He denied knowing him, not once but thrice. Even after he had seen Jesus, as we noted the other day, after he had seen Jesus on two occasions, he went back to the fishing boats. But now, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has come. His life has been impacted by the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit. And now, in front of these same people of whom he was once afraid, he is boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. Something had happened in his life. Filled, baptized now, empowered with the Holy Spirit. And might I say this to this congregation this morning, this evening, with all due respect, there is no way that we can effectively build the kingdom of God as the people of God without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had told the disciples that the Spirit is with you in the person of Jesus. The Spirit was with them, but then he said, the day will come when the Spirit will be in you. And that day came on the day of Pentecost. And they tried to censor Peter and John that day. But Peter and John refused to be censored. And remember this, bold people are Spirit-filled people.
Thanks so much for listening to this special Christmas edition of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take just a few minutes to pray about making The Lights of Spiritual Guidance a part of your Christmas giving. We are a listener-supported, faith-based radio program, and we depend upon our listening audience to keep us on this radio station. So you can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. I hope you'll find some place to worship this weekend. I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches in the state of Illinois: Faith Chapel and Carrier Meals, in the state of Kentucky, Churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association, in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willis Springs, and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. May God richly bless you. And don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.